Welcome in to the Lineup Logic podcast. Your host here, Sean Kane. The NBA DFS podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come on FanDuel. It is the last day of February, my friends, which means we really only have like a little more than a month of basketball left. I know all those baseball fans are pumped, but you know what? For those of us who love the NBA, this is no good. No good. But hey, what are you going to do? It is Tuesday, February 28th. Weird night in the NBA last night. Weird night. Super low scoring games, super low scoring fantasy scores. Just strange. But hey, lots of listeners out there in listener land getting in the cash. Very nice to hear. Really excited to hear from all you guys. Congratulations, special congratulations to my man DFS Spectre, who takes down took down a mini shot last night. Got himself some serious dough. And shout out to all the other guys who cashed last night, who hit me up on Twitter. I appreciate that. You know, it's always nice to hear from you guys, not only because, you know, it's good support of the pod, but it's like, I'm hoping that the advice is good. I mean, I know people come back and they're listening, you want to make sure that, that it's working out for everybody. So, really, really, really good night. For the listeners, I was really happy to hear that. For me, worked out, held on in that last stretch run. It was kind of tilting, but you know, luckily I made it through in 50-50s and doubles, and I'll take it on a weird night like that where Giannis only scores 28 points. I ended up with him in my final line. I will take it. I will take it and just walk away and live to play another day. So, in the next hour to come, we are going to preview the night upcoming in the NBA. A nice little slate. Some really competitive, good, like, basketball games worth watching here. Then we'll go over some spreads, we'll go over injury news, and we'll break down the players to target on the slate upcoming. Before we do that, however, let's go ahead and recap yesterday's lineup. One of these nights. All right. So, made a couple pivots. I got off of Isaiah Thomas just because the Avery Bradley news kind of threw everything for a loop. And Isaiah Thomas, he didn't really work out. He didn't really produce in the fourth quarter. Him and Schroeder. Atlanta kind of took a lead with their bench and never really looked back. So I ended up with Schroeder, Corey Joseph. You know, with Schroeder going into the fourth quarter, by the way, he had 33 fantasy points, and I was like, oh, heck yeah. We got a whole full 8 minutes of Dennis Schroeder already at value. Nope, didn't work out. So he didn't really even play. The bench basically closed that game. Schroeder, Corey Joseph was owned at 97% in 50-50s, and he just didn't do anything. But who cares, because everybody was on him. Giannis at 28, had 28, total bust, absolutely brutal. DeMar DeRozan crushed, 98% of the world was on DeMar DeRozan. Robert Covington had 32, Bob Cov coming through, not quite at value, but played very well. Philly kept that game close. Philadelphia has some very good perimeter defense, and Bob Cov is one of those. Stuff in the stat sheet, man. I love stat sheet stuffers. 8 rebounds, 4 steals, and 2 assists. That's pretty sweet. Paul George came through, didn't really do too much. 36 FanDuel points, but Indiana wins that game. Well done, Indiana. Rashawn Holmes was probably my best play of the night. I was very pleased with him. You know, guys, he's basically taken the job from from Okafor. Okafor is not good. Not good. Rashawn Holmes taking that job away from him. So keep an eye on that. He's priced well. Serge Ibaka owned hugely, but maybe it was the back-to-back, man. Maybe it's the three. I had one of the fan forecast guys point out, hey, Toronto's in the 3 of 4 road back-to-back right now. So, yeah, maybe that was it. And Kyle O'Quinn did really nice, you know, right on the nose at value at 23 points at his salary of 4,500. You know, a nice pivot off of Willie Hernan Gomez, who basically produced almost the same value. So, you know, not bad at all. Kind of night where you walk away with some money, you're okay with it, because not everybody did. It was one of those very, very difficult nights where things were unpredictable. The Michael Beasley injury hurt people in a major way. Derrick Rose left the game for a little while, I saw. You know, it just was one of those weird nights where if you come out alive, you're okay with it. Let's move on to tonight. We've got an excellent slate of games. Let's take a look at what we've got. All right. Like I said, some really just good, high quality, competitive basketball games to be watching tonight. Tonight's a good night to just sit down and enjoy some basketball. First game of the night, 228 total, Golden State at Washington. Washington got coming off 2 days of rest. Going to host the Warriors. 6.5 point favorites are the Warriors. And no real injuries to be concerned about here. This is, you know, full tilt Wizards, full tilt Warriors. Let's go. You know, this is interesting. I hope this game stays competitive because I want to see. I mean, I guess I want to know that the Wizards are good, you know, and I want to know that some of the better top teams in the East can hang with Golden State. Like Philly did it last night, and I don't know if that was just if, you know, Steph was cold. That doesn't help at all. But Philly hung in there. It was respectable, you know, and that's not a team that's nearly as good as Washington. So let's see how the Wiz do here. I hope it's a tough game. 6 point spread is pretty respectful of the Wizards. So we'll see. Portland at Detroit, 214 total here. Detroit favored by 4 at home. Injuries to be concerned about. Yusuf Nurkic got a game time tag. He'll probably play. My guess is he'll play. I think he got busted in the face in that Toronto game. And as long as it's not a broken nose, I think he'll play. Reggie Jackson still with the neck. If his neck thing doesn't get better, it got better at the Boston game. They didn't sit him. If his neck thing doesn't get better, though, I mean, fire up your Ish Smith, no questions asked. But he seems to have taken, I thought for sure Ish Smith had taken that job. But this is just really a symptom of the Van Gundy rotations. You don't really know who's going to get the job. You know, Van Gundy is kind of unpredictable and definitely it is not not loyal to his players when they aren't playing well. So we'll see. But this is an interesting game. I think this is one of those games for GPPs. This is a target. You know, people are going to be on Golden State, Washington. They're going to be on the Charlotte, LA game. They're going to be on the Denver, Chicago game. But for GPP target, a little bit under own Portland, Detroit, get some shares, maybe a little game stack in there, maybe a little KCP, Andre Drummond, maybe a little Damian Lillard. It's a nice little mini game stack. Denver at Chicago, 222 total here. Chicago favored by 3 at home. This should be one of the bigger totals on the night. The Golden State game, but this is the second biggest total on the night. Competitive game here. Only injuries to be concerned about. Kenneth Faried out with a back. So, you know, we're probably going to see more of this kind of two centers look with Plumlee and Jokic. I'm not really sure who the starters will be. We'll keep an eye on that. But, you know, I mean, the Denver rotations are goofy as it is. So, you know, you want to get secure minutes. And the secure minutes right now are really, really with Jameer Nelson, Gary Harris, You know, Gallo is also getting good minutes too. So we'll talk a little bit about the Denver side of things. This is an interesting game for sure. And then on the Chicago side, you know, Paul Zipser out. But that's about it. So, you know, we're going to continue to maybe look at Mirotić. We're going to look at, maybe some Bobby Portis, you know, definitely all in play. But again, another minute situation. You're not completely sure. Also, one thing to keep an eye on, Michael Carter-Williams with the game time tag, likely to play, but if he doesn't go, you know, you gotta like maybe some Rondo. Anyway, Phoenix at Memphis, 209 total here. Memphis favored by 10. These teams have played each other a number of times. Memphis has handled them pretty well every single time. You know, if you can shut down Eric Bledsoe, it's like cut off the head of the dragon. If you can shut down Eric Bledsoe, then, you know, then you pretty much can shut down Phoenix. Nice thing is Eric Bledsoe's price is dropping. So we're going to be on Eric Bledsoe price watch. He's at 8,500 today, and he'll probably have a stinker against Memphis, 30 points, and we'll see his price go back down, you know, 80, 83. Maybe we'll get some Eric Bledsoe at 83 later this week. It'd be a nice price to roster him with 50-point ceiling. This game really doesn't interest me that much. You know, GPP target for sure. GPP target, no question. Under-owned games are where you want to be. Utah at OKC, 204 total here. OKC favored by 1. Very competitive game. Interesting here. Russ is priced down. Even after that monster LA game, he gets the Utah drop. Only down to 12K, which is an excellent price for Russell Westbrook. So if you are a Westbrook man, tonight might be the night for some Westy. We are keeping an eye on the Victor Oladipo news. He has been, you know, battling that back injury, so we'll see if he's in there. If he doesn't go, Alex Abrines gets the start, but I'm not really starting anybody on the wings against Utah, especially a rookie. So, not interested. Utah side of the ball, guys are priced pretty fairly, so except for with the exception of Gobert, whose price just skyrocketed after that big game in Washington. It's like they were waiting to raise his price, which is annoying because I never know when to play Gobert. Him and Andre Drummond, never know. Never know. I always get them wrong. Charlotte at LA, 215 total in this one. Hornets favored by 4 on the road, which is pretty interesting to me. I mean, you think that Vegas really thinks this game is actually going to be a lot closer, than, you know, what you might think. Charlotte, everybody presumes Charlotte's a much better team, but Vegas sees something here. Should be interesting. On the Charlotte side of the ball, what we're looking for is the Cody Zeller news. Hopefully he's doubtful. He's got a game time tag right now. If he doesn't play, then we're firing up Frank the Tank all day. Even if he does play, I feel like Frank the Tank should get more minutes, just because he's been so productive. And, you know, they probably want to nurse Zeller back to health after he has been out for so long. No setbacks. No injuries on the LA side of the ball. Some value there for sure if you want to tackle the Lakers, no question. It just kind of always worries me, those rotations. There's only really – the only guys that I really trust are point guards in L.A., D'Angelo and Jordan Clarkson. I have no problem with them. All right. That is it. Like I said, some real nice competitive worth – you know, basketball games worth watching for sure. This – I want to watch this Washington-Golden State game. Man, I want to watch this Denver-Chicago game too. Should be a good night of hoops. But let's go ahead and get into the player breakdown. Who do you love? All right, so for the lock and load segment here, we are going to sort through the studs, figure out which players we love, which players we want to roster tonight. You know, we always talk about stud allocation. And I don't say stud allocation, but my point being is where are you going to spend your money? And there's some interesting spots to spend your money. But the really nice thing is there's really only one player above 10K tonight, and that is, well, there's There's John Wall at 10K, and then there's Russ at 12K. And that's it. So that lends itself to some kind of some more balanced lineups, a little bit more strategic in lineup construction, I think. So you got to think about that. So at point guard, we've got John Wall at 10K. We also, I mean, Russ at 12 is very interesting against Utah. He had an excellent game, and I'm not saying fade Russ at that price. He had an excellent game against Utah last time out in Utah. The one thing that I would say is that we have to be cautious about the fact that Russ was coming off of like multiple days of rest there. Now, I don't think that that's necessarily going to change the fact that he could go for over 50 tonight, but I do think that it's going to be very clearly top of mind for the Jazz to basically say, let's throw team defense at this guy. If we can stop him, we can win this game. Because they lost to him last time at home. You know, and I don't think the Jazz as a team take that very seriously from a defensive perspective. They're all in, man. So do I think he gets you 55? Yeah, I do. And does he always have 60-point upside? For sure. No question. Russ always does. It's just a question of how much does that price restrict you from investing in what are some other really good matchups across the board. For me, that's kind of what I want to be able to do, is I want to be able to get shares of some of these other really juicy games. And, you know, if I spend 12K on my point guard without a lot of really, really visible value on this slate, which there's some, but you're taking some risks, then, you know, we gotta make sure that we're not restricting our lineup construction. So for me, I like I'm gonna go down to Wall here. Wall, John Wall, 10K. He's got Golden State at home. We love John Wall at home. He's got a pace differential of +4 in the highest total of the night. It's one of the most competitive games on the slate. He's priced reasonably. You know, this for him is a reasonable price down to 10K. Is pretty solid. Last year in two outings against Golden State, this is weird, 8 points he had one time, and then the other time he went for 41. So I don't really know what to say. Maybe he falls somewhere in the middle here. You know, I think as a home dog, pace-up game, it makes him marginally better. But I think there's plenty of pivots as well. You know, I don't think you have to have John Wall. This isn't like a John Wall is a must-have. Like, sometimes we have, you know, absolute must-haves. There's a ton of pivots. Steph is a good price play at 9-3. He had a bad game last night, but that if this game stays competitive, you know, the only thing there is DVP-wise, John Wall's a pretty good defender. They're pretty good against the point guard this year. So Damian Lillard has one of the better DVP situations on the night. I don't love his pace or his price, but the matchup with Reggie Jackson is very good. Kemba, similarly, great, great pace, great matchup. Not a great price, though. You know, Kemba, but, you know, Kemba did already put 40 up on the Lakers once this year, so I have no problem with Kemba Walker in that game out there on the West Coast. You know, John Wall's in a great spot, absolutely. Russ is in a great spot, but I think you could go anywhere from, you can go a lot of directions in the, on this point guard slate. Really, really you can. And you have a lot of point guards who are in good situations, all the way from, you know, 12K to 6K. So we'll talk about it. Wade at 8K is my shooting guard. You know, Dwayne Wade isn't someone that you always want to find money for. Like, you're not building your lineups around an 8K shooting guard that's 35 years old. But in this situation, I think you can. Depleted Bulls team, he's at home, pace up Nuggets. You know, you can find room for Dwayne Wade. He's shown some variance lately, yes. You know, I think sometimes that has to do with health. But he's going to get plenty of possessions. He'll get plenty of opportunity against the Nuggets, one of the worst in the season to the DVP, to the kick, to the position. You know, the only thing that I'm going to caution you against is that the Nuggets are trending up against the shooting guard. You know, I think they recognize their faults in their perimeter defense, you know. And I think Mike Malone has basically, that's part of the reason why Jameer Nelson and Gary Harris are locked in there rather than Will Barton and Emmanuel Mudiay because they play better defense. So they've only yielded 30 points to the position over the last five games. Now that's kind of an outlier number. That's like league best. You know, it's not that that's probably a function of who they played rather than, you know, and they played Tony Allen, for example. So yeah, it makes sense. But, you know, Gary Harris is a solid defender. He's not perfect, but he's one of the better defenders on Denver. So, you know, Dwayne Wade, I think you find space for him. But I also don't have a problem if you're like, I just can't get to him. I'm going to take the 7K guys. There's a ton of guys at 7K that are excellent. And we'll talk about them as well. At small forward, it's Jimmy. Jimmy is 9-3. He's got Denver, which is one of the best DVP situations at home. You know, this for me is my favorite stud of the night. Combination of pace, price, DVP. You know, that checks all the boxes for me as far as, you know, my do's and don'ts of roster construction. You know, he had a rough game against Phoenix. You know, without overtime, he kind of doesn't hit value. Reality is he didn't really rebound that game. He didn't really get the glass going. So he just kind of didn't hit an outlier performance. He shot pretty poorly. He shot like, you know, 25% and really didn't rebound very much. So I'm okay with going back to Jimmy at this price. It's a really nice price for a guy who has a 55-point ceiling. You know, the Nuggets give up buckets in the interior. The Bulls should be able to get to the rim pretty easily. You know, now what I will say is Kevin Durant is very similarly in an excellent spot against Washington. He's, you know, he's only 10-4. KD could, if KD gets full minutes, KD gets 50 points, 45 to 50 points. So but for me, I just really like the savings that I get with Jimmy again. You know, it's the same thing as Russ. It's like, am I going to spend that extra $1,000, $2,000? Or am I going to spend down a little bit and try to maximize my ceiling by getting a couple extra dollars on the table? So I don't know. I think you could have KD or you could have Jimmy, either one. And you'd be rock solid. You'd be very, very pleased with the outcome tonight. So, my only thing is that I really want my exposure to Golden State to come through, Draymond Green, and I'll talk about him later. At power forward, Nikola Jokic is the only guy who really fits the bill. And like, this hurts my heart, guys. I am a Jokic guy. But Jokic is not, I think, changes. Times are changing for Nikola Jokic. I can't tell if it is a strategic thing from Malone. I can't tell if it's the arrival of Plumlee, if it is a full rotation with Gallinari healthy, teams are figuring him out, or he's injured. I don't know what it is, but he's not producing well. 9-5 is too much of a price tag for a guy who's flashed a 20-point floor right recently. So I don't know if it's just regression. I don't know if it's a scheme situation where Malone is, you know, kind of not making him the focal point of the offense, but, you know, he's had some duds recently. So the last game he had against Chicago, however, he did have limited minutes. He only had 18 minutes. So it's kind of as he was, you know, the secondary starter behind Nurkic and not the secondary starter, but he was behind Nurkic as the starter. You know, he had 26 FanDuel points in 18 minutes. It's roughly a point and a half per minute. So if he gets 30 minutes tonight, that's 45 FanDuel points. But here's the concern is recently it's like he's splitting time with Plumlee. Let's say he gets 27 minutes. You're down to 40 FanDuel points, and all of a sudden you've spent 9-5 on a player who's really basically getting you 3x. I don't know about Jokic. I'm okay saying, you know, okay, maybe he has a 50-pointer. Fine. I'm okay with the wait-and-see approach. If he has a 50-pointer tonight in Chicago, great. Then that's kind of the affirmation that it was just regression and things aren't changing. His role isn't changing in Denver. But I'm okay. I'm okay, you know, kind of taking a wait and see with Jokic and wait for one of those bounce back games. And you know what? If the price goes back up, that's fine. But I don't really, you know, or somebody gets injured, then I'll go back to Jokic. But like, something's different. And so I'm a little concerned about Jokic. But I think he is always in play, 100% always in play for GPPs. No question asked. If you're building a GPP lineup, people are scared off by what I'm talking about exactly in cash games. Boom, GPP. pardon me. At center, center's rough tonight, dude. Center is, I mean, there's a couple spots where you can go, but your top price center on the slate is Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol is priced way up. You know, I like Marc Gasol for his floor. He's going to get you 30, no question. Question is he going to get you 50? And he can get you 50. I just never know when he gets it right. You know, his plus games are very hard to pin down in my mind. It's like it's an issue of game script, I think. His team starts to, in the midst of a game, realize, like, we have an advantage here with Mark. Mark is playing well. Let's go through him. You know, and they let him get some extra minutes. They put the offense through him. They run those post sets. You know, I just, it's not always the case. You know, and he's played Phoenix a number of times this year, and he's only averaged 30 FanDuel points. So it doesn't feel like a night where you want to pay up at center. The only guy that you're paying up for maybe at center is Drummond, and I'll talk about Drummond. All right, let's move on to the fantasy grout. This is the mid-tier, the mid-price guys to fill in the 5 to 8K range. Two nice point guards in this range. I already talked a little bit about Dame and Kemba. I like them. I like them a lot in GPPs especially. But I think my point guards, my cash game point guards are just really priced well for their situations and their matchups and their roles. And that's D'Angelo Russell at 6'4 and George Hill at 6K. Russell's got a great matchup with Kemba today. He's at home. You know, he has basically taken on the massive offensive workload. No Lou Williams in the lineup. They shifted over to a youth approach. He's done well, man. We've seen this 40-point ceiling from him, you know, throughout the course of the year. You know, and in one game against the Hornets this year already in Charlotte, he had 25 minutes and he had 30 fantasy points. Well, let's say he gets 36 minutes tonight. That's where that 40-point ceiling comes into to effect. Boom. Matchup with Kemba is great. The spread is close. Vegas likes this game. You know, and I think we have to look back and see, okay, when does Russell exceed 35, 36, go for 40? Okay, this is the trend. He did it in Boston. Close spread. Or the game stayed close because the Celtics played, or excuse me, the Lakers played well. Close game, great matchup individually with Isaiah Thomas. Oklahoma City, he played really well. Close game, good matchup with Russell Westbrook. New York, close game, good matchup with Derrick Rose. You know, so these poor point guard defenders, which Kemba Walker does kind of fall into that category, not that great at defending the individually at the point guard, kind of lazy. Just, you know, like not he, like in the playoffs, Kemba would turn it on. He's got it in him. He just regular season is kind of one of those guys that's like, oh, I got screened. Well, hope somebody switched. You know, he's not going to fight through screens. You know, he's the same as Kyrie and Russ. You know, he's like, come on, man, let me get some buckets. I love Kemba. It's that Big East love that I can't get rid of memories of him in that UConn jersey with the step back. Anyway, so 35 minutes of D'Angelo Russell in this game. I'll take it at home at 6'4". Give me 32 points. Yeah. You know, 40-point ceiling. Okay, good. Good. You know, I think George Hill is also really in play at 6K. He's just been super consistent. He's 28, 29, 30, 30 points back to back to back to back. His price has barely moved because he's just been so darn consistent. You know, he's a little risky. He does have a floor. You know, he kind of has two approaches to a game. Well, I mean, here's the basic reality with George Hill. He'll get 30 minutes, one, guaranteed. He will take more than 10 shots, but not more than 15 shots. He will get you a minimum of 5 rebounds and 5 assists. The question is how well does he shoot? Does he get you more rebounds and more assists? And does he grab any steals? He can, the last game against Oklahoma City, he took 10 or 11 shots and he only hit 2 or 3. He shot very poorly, you know, but that's an outlier performance. You know, guys in the NBA don't shoot that poorly. So, I think George Hill is in a good spot here with Russell Westbrook defense to try and, you know, take advantage of kind of Russ's trends recently, which he just hasn't been playing well, and hit that 30.5x value. You know, for cash games, that's where you want to be. And he, you know, he doesn't have that much of a ceiling, but okay, if he gets you 35, then you're basically at 6x. So that the price and the matchup are really solid here. There's savings there. At shooting guard, we're going to go down to Bradley Beal, 7K on the nose, and Gary Harris is, interestingly enough, one of my other favorites. I like Nick Batum quite a bit at 7'5", also. I have no problem with Nick Batum. You know, I like Nick Batum a lot. Nick Batum is hard to figure out when he's going to go for 40 and when he's going to go for 30. You know, he will fall every night in that range. But at 7'5", I need him to be at 40. I don't need him to be at 30. So I'm not rushing to roster Nick Batum, especially when I have a guy like Bradley Beal at 7K in an excellent pace-up game with Golden State. So I love Dwayne Wade and I love Nick Batum. Bradley Beal, though, is just priced really, really well. I think he's got, and I don't know, maybe tell me on Twitter. I think he's got like the big game switch in his mind. He's that guy that has, you know, like, okay, big game, TV, I want to be respected, let's go. You know, he went off against the Cavs, he goes off in these bigger situations especially when there's pace to it. He runs the floor really well, gets those open threes. So, I don't know, that's kind of narrative street, but I like it. We know this isn't a perfect DVP situation against Clay, but there's not any real perfect DVP situations against the Warriors. You know, there really isn't. I mean, individually, they're all very good defenders, and they're one of the best team defenses in the league. So you got to attack the game somehow because you want access to that pace and that total. And I think Bradley Beal is one of the best ways to do that tonight. Golden State, back to the DVP thing. Sorry, I missed this note. Golden State allows 35 points to that position. Okay, that's like average, dead middle of the pack, like 14th in the league. You look at that and you go, that's not great. I wish it was bottom five. Well, I mean, we feel comfortable attacking Phoenix. Phoenix is bottom 20, and they only allow 36.5. You know, the differential here is not that high. You know, the differential between Golden State and Brooklyn, who's dead last, yes, it's much higher. You know, it's like a 4-point difference, 5-point difference. But the difference between Golden State and, you know, a team like Phoenix that we like attacking, it's not that great. So, you know, keep that in mind. I think Beal is priced well, pace up game, good total, not bad. Gary Harris is also in a great spot at 5'5". He just hasn't been priced properly yet. He's been hitting 30 back-to-back-to-back-to-back games, and he's still priced at 5'5". I don't know why. Maybe a FanDuel pricing algorithm doesn't like Michigan State alumni or guys with boring names who are from the Midwest. But, hey, that's Gary Harris, and we'll take it. He's like one of the best players in Malone's rotation right now, 30 plus minutes. I think he'll actually be out there to defend Dwayne Wade. You know, will he do well? I don't know if he'll do well defending Dwayne Wade because Dwayne Wade's a Hall of Famer, but he will try and Malone will give him the minutes to do it. 30 FanDuel points in 4 of his last 5 games and 33 minutes to average. Not bad. If you want to pivot off of him, I like KCP quite a lot. against the Blazers in a pace-up situation. Solid matchup. Last time he had 38 against the Blazers, a little bit of an outlier because that game went to double OT. He got like 48 minutes. So, you know, it would have been a little bit more of a reasonable floor game for KCP, probably, you know, 28 points, let's call it, if he doesn't get those 10 extra minutes. Let's call it 28 points. So, you know, KCP and Harris are both in good spots here. At small forward, I really like Gordon Hayward quite a bit here. 7'9 is a great price for a guy who can pretty much get to 40 and gets 35 minutes and has an entire offense run through him. Tight game, tight spread. Hayward is in a good spot. He's been, you know, just deadly consistent lately. So he's one of those, you know, kind of like George Hill, like you take your 5X and you move on. Roberson defense is good, but it's not great. And, you know, I don't know. I like Hayward in this spot. The other one that the guy I really like in a bounce back is Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. MKG, you know, by the way, I don't mind a lot of these guys. Like, I don't mind Gallo. Minutes are good. I don't mind Otto Porter. Pace is excellent. Price is down. But I do like MKG quite a bit. So Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, 5'7", he's got LA. He's coming off a dud at the Clippers, but that's not going to happen again. It's not going to happen again. You know, he's going to bounce back. He gets plenty of minutes in that rotation. He had multiple games at or around 30 points before that major dud. You know, and Mbah Mute is a good defender, you know, like that makes sense that Mbah Mute locked him down and they put the offense, they ran the offense through Nick Batum and Kemba. That's fine. You know, hey, that happens. And he wasn't able to rebound. Well, you rebound against Blake and DeAndre. Okay. It's not the same as who he's going up against tonight. You know, Ivaka Zubac and Julius Randle. Julius don't rebound Randle. God, man, that guy. Pace up game, DVP advantage. You know, and if he gets 30 minutes of Brandon Ingram, boom, give me that. Because they're giving 30-plus minutes to Brandon Ingram. So shout-out to Johnny Esposito, Brandon Ingram love. Always, Johnny, you know it's a Johnny, you know it's a Zito line if it's got Brandon Ingram and Kyle Korver in it. my favorite. Anyway, and we're going to get some hot takes from Johnny at the end of the show. Hot Take Tuesday is coming up, so stay tuned for Hot Take Tuesday, which promises some bold predictions, bold and zesty predictions from my man Johnny Esposito. So anyway, my hope here with MKG, back to Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, 5'7", LA. Depressed ownership on account of a bad line last game at the Clippers, you know. I like him a lot. I like him a lot in that late game. At power forward, couple guys here that are in good spots. Draymond is kind of a lock for me tonight. Again, now I wish I had taken my own advice yesterday because he was one of my favorite plays on the board. And then I just kind of forgot about him. Idiot. and Zaza, for that matter. You know, I said Zaza is going to get 20 minutes against the worst front court in the NBA. Well, what did he do? He does 25 points. Whatever, man. I don't listen to my own show. Draymond tonight, lock him in, 7-2. You want him in a competitive game? Check. You want him in a DVP matchup that's advantageous? Check. And you want him to be able to lock in peripherals. Here's what I like the most, okay? He's got a situation in which, according to that, and if you haven't watched this video, by the way, one of my tools tutorials, go ahead and check it out. I do this like some of my favorite tools in this offense versus defense breakdown. It's deeper than DVP, I call it. It's on YouTube. So Washington allows the most rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks to forwards on the slate. You know, that to me signals like this is a Draymond opportunity. You know, we want, he had 11 assists last night. He doesn't score that much. He scored 10 points. He had 11 assists and like four steals and a block, you know? So this is what you, this is the kind of situation that you want for Draymond. But you know, hey, if you want to pivot off of him, cause you think, hey, you know what, regression, he's going to be chalky. I have no problem. We pivot off of him to Zach Randolph and Frank the Tank. And actually, I like both of them quite a bit. Zach Randolph, 6K. He's got Phoenix. He's a really good history against Phoenix this year. You know, he just kind of destroys those young guns and young bloods in that front line, which I always love watching because he's basically like, come on, rookie. Let's go. And Frank the Tank will likely get the start for Zeller against LA front court. Just terrible. You know, had a kind of a tough game against Blake and DeAndre, but hey, no worries. Lakers are a good way to get a bounce back here. So we'll see. He's averaged 34 FanDuel points in the last five games, which is awesome. So you love Frank the Tank in this situation. You know, what I especially like is even in the previous matchup where Frank only got 17 minutes earlier in the season because he was playing off the bench then, he had 18 minutes. He had 17 fantasy points. So it's basically a point per minute against this team. If he gets 36 minutes here, boom, lock him in. Really, really like Frank the Tank in this spot. At center, this is an interesting spot for Andre Drummond. Now, I mentioned him earlier in the pod, and he's 8-1, which isn't a perfect price. It's a little bit higher than I want. And Drummond falls into this, like, hardcore variance category where, you know, he we don't know what kind of performance we're going to get. But I think when you know you have to play Drummond is when the other team goes big, okay? So let's think about this. He goes off against the Lakers. Well, the Lakers do run a five. They have, you know, they don't really run a small ball lineup. They'll run Zubac out there. They'll run Larry Nance out there. They'll run Tarik Black out there to play the five. Okay, he goes off against them. He goes off against Boston. Well, Boston runs a little bit more of a traditional set with Horford. Horford's a stretch five, but okay, he's still there as a five, and he eats in the middle. You know, these are the kinds of, you know, the Magic. He went off against the Magic. He went off against the Blazers when it was the Plumlee Blazers. You know, I think when Drummond has a matchup with another five who's not as good as him, or not as athletic as him, that's when he succeeds. That's when he really succeeds. What he can't do is he can't hang on a court when they play small ball. And when other teams play small ball, they're going to move John Lohr into the four or the five and maybe get Tobias Harrison there and figure out what they can do to try and, you know, limit Andre's, you know, limit Drummond's need to run around the court. So I like Drummond a lot tonight as a lower-owned GPP play. He's expensive, and 40 points is a lot to ask, but you know he has that 50-point ceiling if he goes and gets 20 rebounds. Yusuf Nurkic doesn't scare me. Drummond is much more athletic than Nurkic. Nurkic is a big body, but Nurkic is not perfect as a center. You know, Vucevic had a great game against him the other night. So I don't know. It's a GPP target for sure. Drummond at 8.1. All right, let's go on down to the bargain basement here where we're looking for value in the 5K range. It's a little thin. There's a couple spots, a couple guys here and there that I don't mind. So let's go through them. At point guard, I really think the only value point guard that you're really looking at tonight is Jordan Clarkson. At 5'2", he's really shown a big bump on that second unit. I don't mind Jordan Clarkson. Now, you know, Rondo and Jameer Nelson should be interesting depending on their starting situations. Rondo may be getting the start. We'll see. I'm not sure. But Jordan Clarkson at 5'2 is some really nice savings there. So, you know, not bad at all. At shooting guard, the value shooting guards are a little thin. I'm not going to touch Nick Young, even though we like to attack shooting guards against Charlotte, he's been so inconsistent lately, both with production and minutes. I don't know. It's going to take some guts for me to really feel like I can attack Nick Young here in this spot. I'm not really sure what's going on with his role, and I'd rather miss on a big Nick Young game than roster him and say, why did you only score 8 fantasy points, Nick Young? Other than that, I think, you know, maybe we get some Abrines, but we're not going to go Abrines against, OKC. So I like Jeremy Lamb. Jeremy Lamb's been getting pretty consistent minutes off the bench for the second unit of Charlotte. And he's played well with those minutes. You know, he's played really well, you know, filling in for Nick Batum. So, he's in a good spot at 4-1, but again, you know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is only 5'4", so that's really not a bad price for KCP. All right, then at small forward, you get a couple options here. MKG, obviously, at 5'7", we talked about him, but then you can go down. You know, Mo Harkless in the last two games has been getting 35-plus minutes. Very interesting shift there. You know, normally like 25-something minutes, but they're giving Harkless plenty of minutes. You know, and I don't know if it's just game script or what, but at 4-8, you will take 35 minutes for sure. No question asked, even if it is against Detroit. You know, you don't mind, maybe a little Brandon Ingram exposure. He is pretty cheap at 4K and he's been getting 30 minutes. Just, he doesn't really do much with it, you know, and I don't know, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist defense. I'll look into that a little bit, but there's, you don't have to have it. It's not one of those slates where it's like, give me 2 12K studs or give me a 12K and a 10K. You know, you couldn't build that lineup, but you're going to take some risky punts here with some of these value plays. So we'll see. I don't know how lineup construct. For me, lineup construction is breaking out a little bit more balanced tonight. Just because there's guys in good spots who I trust as known commodities. Okay, and then at power forward, you have you know, a guy like Marvin Williams and Derek Favors, both about 5K, who, you know, good rotation guys, you know, in decent matchups against front courts that are, you know, not particularly good. And John Lohr at 4'6". John Lohr at 4'6" is a great price for a guy who has a 30-point ceiling. No question asked, against Portland team that, you know, struggles against the power forward, even though John Lohr is a stretch four. You know, you don't mind John Lohr at all in this spot at 4'6". Just a question of whether or not, you know, for me, Frank the Tank and Draymond both are in excellent positions as well. Am I going to find room for John Lohr? Eh, if I need it. But I'd rather roster Frank and Draymond. So that is a power forward. And at center, you really only have the only guy that I trust down here in this list. I mean, I guess you could go with Nurkic, but, like, you know, I mean, Nurkic went out and he completely laid an egg against Toronto, against Valanciunas. Valanciunas was your holdup. You had no trouble with Gobert. You had no trouble with Vucevic, but Jonas Valanciunas is the one. Give me a break. I don't know. So, you know, for me, Robin Lopez is interesting against the Denver front court. Not great. And Rolo's minutes have been pretty consistently about 28 to 30. And he's only 4'8". And he also has 30-point upside pace up situation against a bad front court team. Robin Lopez should be able to get some buckets there. So that's it. All right, let's move on to the lineup lock segment. This is where we give ourselves a shell, kind of core lineup to build from, and I give you guys some of my favorite plays of the night based on price, pace, matchup, etc. So I'll give you my top four plays here, my four starters who I'm building with my shell. I really like D'Angelo Russell with Charlotte. I think he's at a great price and a great matchup, great minutes. I really like Jimmy with Denver. Again, great price, great pace, you know, and a great position to succeed DVP-wise. I really like Frank the Tank with LA, same. Price is at 5'9". That's reasonable. Good situation if he starts at center against LA. Minutes are there, very secure, and I like Draymond quite a bit. I want exposure to that high total. He's at 7'2". He's going to have an opportunity to get full minutes in a competitive game. So those are my four: D'Angelo, Jimmy, Frank, and Draymond. So those are my favorites. Then if I flesh it out, you know, I think where I went immediately was I wanted to get some more exposure to the Washington side of the ball. So I went with Bradley Beal at 7K and KCP at 5'5". Then needed some reasonable savings, right? So George Hill at 6K, I'll take that, 5 points right there. And Gordon Hayward at 7'9 fits in nicely there. You know, really like that 40-point upside from him at 7'9, good price. And then that left me with Robin Lopez at 4'8. I'm fine with Robin Lopez being one of my value plays here. You know, and to be clear, Robin Lopez is my value play. This is the definition of a balanced lineup. When your value play isn't below 4-5 and you have a starter as the lowest, you know, the value. But I mean, the reality is if I look at this lineup, there's a combination of pace and price advantages in each one of these. All of these guys are priced fairly. They're priced below what their ceilings are, and they are in pace-up situations, okay? Charlotte and L.A., pace-up game. Utah, visiting Oklahoma City, we'll see a pace bump. Washington getting Golden State, pace bump. Detroit seeing Portland, pace bump. Jimmy getting Denver, pace bump and DVP advantage. Gordon Hayward at Oklahoma City, pace bump. Frank the Tank in LA, pace bump, DVP advantage, fair price. Draymond, great matchup, you know, one of the best DVP matchups in the night and a great total. And Robin Lopez, pace bump and great DVP matchups. I mean, it's just, you know, you may not be turned on by this lineup. You may be like, oh man, can't you fit in a Wall or a, can't you fit in a, you know, a Russ or something like that. I don't necessarily need, I need everybody to exceed value by 5 points. That's it. Okay. So I'm asking what? I'm asking D'Angelo Russell to go for 37. I'm asking George Hill to go for 35. I'm asking Bradley Beal to go for 40. I'm asking KCP to go for 30, for Jimmy to go for 50. You know, I mean, that's a GPP winning lineup if that happens. But it's not a crazy proposition, you know. These are guys are all in good situations. And, you know, to just get a plus 2, 3, 4, 5 points from all of them or a number of them is enough to get you over 300 in a good way. So we will take that. That is a take that to the bank. I like this lineup quite a bit. We'll see what news comes out and we can change it. And I mean, that's how you get better DFS. Pivots, changes, a little extra research here and there, asking the right questions, making the right moves, feeling like you nailed down a lineup. But then questioning it. Why does this lineup suck? Why should I play this? What should I do here? What should I do? What should I do there? Is this right? Is this wrong? Hit me up on Twitter if you have questions, please. If you're a listener who cashed, you know, I want to hear from you. You know, I love hearing from you guys out there in Twitter world. So, good luck tonight in your contest, and I will see you guys tomorrow.